Peter chapter number 2 as we continue in our journey through the book of 1 Peter. We're going to continue on a little bit when it comes to this idea of being called into His marvelous light and how there is a difference in showing forth the praises of God. We looked at this last Wednesday night, also looked at it this past Sunday night, and we're going to continue on with it tonight in 1 Peter chapter number 2. I enjoyed Brother Chambers' song because I know that sometimes we do have that heart of stone and the idea we need God's work to act like that hammer and kind of chisel away those things in our lives that we are hard-hearted about. And sometimes each of us have something in our lives that is causing us to have a heart of stone or be hard-hearted about something that God's been asking us to do, and we just don't want to do it. You ever been asked to do something and just not wanted to do it? I know that's happened to me before. And there's sometimes I just don't understand. Sometimes I try to reason out in my mind, why would God ask us to do something? And when you come to this passage of Scripture tonight, and the world that we live in today, you can actually apply this a little bit. We're going to look at this, and when we understand, we got to have the whole perspective that we have for the whole chapter about desiring the sincere milk of the Word, about how Jesus Christ is either a rock of offense, a stumbling block, or He's precious to us. And we come down to the spot in verses 9, and it was where we've been looking at how we're a chosen generation, we're a royal priesthood, we're a peculiar people, we're a holy nation, and how our purpose is to show forth the praises of God with our lives, with our actions. Some of the things that God asks us to do is not what our flesh wants to do. Most of the things that God asks us to do, our flesh does not want us to do. And we come to this spot where He says, look, I want you to listen to me. I want you to obey me. And this is the key concept in our relationship with Jesus Christ. If our focus is on what Christ has called us to do and what He wants us to be, and that He's God, He's got everything under control, then when He asks us to do things, then we'll just say, okay, Lord, I don't understand all of it, but by faith, and that's the key, we want to please the Lord, and we can't do that without faith. And we've been called out of darkness into His marvelous light. Remember, there's a certain way people live in darkness. There's certain things that people do that live in darkness that the people that live in the light are not going to do. Remember what it says in Ephesians chapter number 2, verses 2 and 3, referring to people that are unsaved, lost, dead in their sins. It says, when in time past you walked according to the course of this world. And this is the darkness that we lived in. You know, once again, Christ has called us out of that marvelous, out of that darkness into His marvelous light. But in times past, we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power there, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's the description of them. Among whom also we all had our conversation, the way we lived our lives, our lifestyle, in times past, in the lust of the flesh, meaning whatever we desire to do, that's what we were bent on doing, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Once again, that's how that we used to live. That's how people who are lost and unsaved, they live. But we've been called out of that. Once we become Christians, we've been brought into a marvelous light, and there is a new way that we're supposed to live. And that new way that we live shows forth the praises of God. And as we looked at on Sunday night, Peter says, I beseech ye, you as strangers and pilgrims. Remember, strangers, you're not at home. You're somewhere that's different. And our heavenly home is what we're focused at. And when you see somebody that's not at home, sometimes they look a little bit differently. Sometimes they act differently. Sometimes they dress differently. Sometimes they talk differently. It's because they're a stranger. And that's why we don't need to try to fit in with this world. And it says, in pilgrims, talking about how this is just a journey. And you continue on where it says, abstain. And these are the ways that we show forth the praises of God. And, you know, you could title the message, Called Into His Marvelous Light, Part 3, or Part 3 is Showing Forth the Praises of God. How do you show forth the praises of God? You abstain from fleshly lusts, you see in verse number 11. They war against your soul. You have an honest conversation. It says, having your conversation in verse 12, honest among the Gentiles. It's talking about a life that is honest, and people would, you'd be a person of character amongst those that even do not know Christ. Whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. So, in verse 13 is where we're going to pick up tonight, and we're going to read verses 13 through 18 is what we're going to stay and focus on. But we're actually going to our first point is going to be found in verse 17. But let's read verses 13 through 18. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. Now, here's the thoughts. You say, where's the difficult thing in here? Well, this is saying that we're supposed to submit to the ordinance of man. We're supposed to honor, it says, the king. We're supposed to honor all men. And, you know, sometimes there are certain people just that do not deserve our honor. And you take our president of the United States. We need to honor the office of the president. But I guess to be honest with you, the man that's president right now is anti-God in many of his actions, and it's really difficult for me to say I'm going to honor that person. I can honor the position he has and the position he holds, but when a person's into doing things that are anti-biblical, you say, what do you mean, killing unborn babies, pushing a homosexual agenda, doing things that are just wicked and abominations according to what the Bible says, then I have a problem with that. And so, and this is where we come to this and we see this. You say, well, I don't understand why I need to do this. Well, let's go back and remember who we're writing to. Peter's writing to who here? The first century church. Who's their king? It's Nero. And you think about Nero, Peter's telling him, look, you need to honor the king. You need to respect the position. You need to honor the ordinances of man. Nero is doing what? He's using Christians as human candles. I mean, he burns down Rome, and he blames it on the Christians. He, at the age of 31, he takes his own life, known as being one of the cruelest men to ever live, especially those that persecute Christians. And his Senate rebelled against him because of his viciousness. He made many of them kill themselves. Just a wicked, wicked man. And Peter's saying here, if you want to show forth the praises of God, these are some of the things you need to do. Now, before we go any farther, I do want you to understand that God is our supreme authority and that God is the one we obey first and above all. Remember when Jesus talked about Peter and they were talking about taxes and Peter said, Jesus told Peter, you know, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, render unto God what's God's. But when it came time for Peter to be told that he no longer can preach the word of God, Peter said, I got to obey God rather than men. So when we look at this passage of Scripture, we're going to show forth the marvelous light by living as a testimony, being the best citizen, being the best American, being the best worker, being the best this, this, and this, but for God's sake. And we're going to do it above all else and not going to disobey God. You think about it. If they have some silly, sometimes governments have different silly stipulations and ordinances for different reasons, and they expect different building codes. You know, we're going to follow those things. But if they come in and say, hey, look, you can't preach the Word of God, we're going to find another place to preach the Word of God. We're going to go out to a park. We're going to go wherever we have to do because God tells us we're supposed to do that. As long as they're not telling us to disobey God, the Bible's saying that we need to submit yourselves to every ordinance of man. And this is something that we like to go against. Now, I think that we should be a good citizen. I think we should stand up for our rights. I think we should use our voice because we have the opportunity to voice our opinions here in the democracy that we live in. We should use that to the fullest. We should be actively involved. We shouldn't just take things and say, okay, that's the way it's got to be. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying that we need to remember what the Bible teaches us here about the three different things. It's first of all, the different types of relationships. The second thing is the duty to do right. And the third thing, the danger of using our liberty the wrong way. Let's look here first at the first thing. I think it all starts here in verse number 17. It says, honor all men, love the brotherhood. And this next phrase, fear God, honor the king. Now, the where does it all start? It starts with our different types of relationships that we have. And the first thing is the reverence of the Almighty. If we fear God right, if we want to honor and love the Lord and we fear Him, we want to obey Him, we don't want to do anything that's going to do, then He is supreme, then God's going to make everything else work out the way He wants it to. Remember, we are just a pilgrim. We are on a way. We are on this journey. God has everything designed. God sees how everything is going to work out in the end. Sometimes we like to try to push our way in and try to change things. But God's got a plan for all of this. He got a plan. You know, when Christ was dying on the cross, you know, the disciples were devastated. But it was part of God's plan. And we got to remember this. We are just pilgrims on a journey. What we are is a tool in the hand of God. God, we are supposed to be servants, called slaves. I mean, whatever it is, we are supposed to place ourselves in the mighty hand of God and allow God to do what He wants with our lives. Why? Because He's God and because He deserves it and because He knows what's best and because He loves us probably better than we love ourselves. And He has the world's best interest at heart with our lives. And we place ourselves in God's hands, and when we read things like this, we're wondering, how can I do this? Well, first of all, it begins with a reverence for the Almighty. Think about what it says in Colossians 1:16-19. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in all things, that in Him should all fullness dwell. Say, Pastor, what are you getting at? Everything was created by Him. They were created for Him, and He is supposed to have the preeminence in our life. So what we need to say, okay, Lord, I don't always understand what's going on, but I'm placing myself in Your hands. I am fearing You above anything else, and I'm going to live according to what Your Word tells me. And when I read in Your Word these are things I'm going to learn to try to obey. Remember what the Bible says, when a man's ways please the Lord, He maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. So this is the beginning, and it's not the end of the message, but this is the theme through the whole message is, if we fear God, then God will take care of everything else. Until our vertical relationship is right, we will struggle with our horizontal relationships. Until we are right with God, we will always struggle with those that are around us. I don't know about you, if I don't haven't taken my time in prayer and Bible reading, I'm not usually as nice of a person as I am when I take this to spend a little bit of time with the Lord. I think sometimes my wife probably could even ask me, she never has, but ask me, says, well, you didn't read your Bible that much today because you're kind of grumpy or you're a little short or you're a little bit this. I lose my patience and I don't act the way I'm supposed to when I don't spend my time with the Lord, because if my relationship is not right with God, I'm not going to be able to be controlled by His Spirit and I'm not going to be able to have the right relationships with men. And if you want to know, man, I struggle with this person, 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 how is your relationship with God? Because the Bible's saying that if our ways please the Lord, He maketh even his enemies to be at peace with Him. And I know some of us live with hard and difficult people. Sometimes we work with hard and difficult people. Sometimes people are frustrating. Sometimes people are just, it would just be nice if they got a clue. But in the same time, if our relationship with God is right, every day we need to align ourselves properly with God first. And with that relationship right, our human relationships will be much easier to align. Because when we see God for who He is and we fear God, then we'll understand that, hey, we're a pilgrim, we're a stranger in this world, not everybody's going to understand us, not everybody's going to have the same spiritual walk we have. Some people are going to be a little bit more immature that you're going to have to help along the way. Some people might be having a bad day, you're going to be willing to forgive, you're going to be willing to treat people with kindness. It all seems to work out much better when you start off by fearing Him, when you start off by living for Him, then these other things don't seem impossible. When we don't spend time alone with God and our heart is not with God, that's when we don't know how to deal with our kids or how to deal with our mates or how to deal with that boss at work or how to deal with those that work for you. We don't have that patience. We don't have the fruits of the Spirit in our life. We need to have a clear understanding of who Jesus is, what He has done for us, who we are in Him now, as well as what He desires to continue to do in us and through us by His Spirit and through His grace. Because every human being has value to God, He begins these other specific straightforward advice. Let's, in chapter 2, verse 17, He uses the word honor all men. That means respect all. God saw fit to love the entire world and make salvation available to everyone. For God so loved the world. He even says, thou shalt not kill. Bible even talks about how we should, whoso sheddeth man's blood by him, man, his blood will be shed. You know, all those different things Life is given by God, taken by God. It begins at conception. And we need to remember that we need to honor all men. Are all men honorable? No, they're not. They are not honorable. But as a believer and as a Christian and as trying to do the Lord's work, we need to respect man. It doesn't matter race, doesn't matter society standards, social standards, all those different things. We need to make sure that we have respect. We need to do unto others the way that we would want them to do unto us. And we need to move quickly here. It says, honor all men, love the brotherhood. Love the brotherhood. We need to learn how to treat one another in the house of God. This is great. This is a place where we come together to worship. This is where we should get along. You know, this is where we should have not the problems that they have out in the world. We need to honor man, but we're not going to get along with someone who's still living in this darkness. We're not going to get along with someone who's wicked and has a different mindset than us. We can respect them. We can respect their opinions. These are the people we're trying to reach, but loving the brother means that it's over here. This should be easy to love. This should be easy to get along with, but how come it seems like sometimes we get better along with those that are living in darkness than those that are in the brotherhood? While we are to treat everyone properly because they are made in the image of God, we have a particular responsibility to those who are saved. We're family. Listen to some of the verses. It says, and we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. That's what we're supposed to. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Acts 20:35. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said it is more blessed to give than to receive. The local church provides a great opportunity to display the love of Christ. I don't know how many times, and it's been many times, that people have just displayed the love of Christ to me and my family. Not because of something I asked, not because of something that they just the Lord used people in my life. And I know that I'm loved. And it is wonderful to be loved. Now, in a world that is going to despise, not understand, even sometimes hate, even sometimes criticize, as it talked about and we learned about in verse number 12, talk about how against you as evildoers, there is a common ground and a common fellowship around Jesus Christ. And this fellowship should be used to help and assist through prayer, encouragement, and assistance. God blesses those who serve others. And he's saying here, now honor all men. We need to respect them. Love the brotherhood. That is a step farther for those that are brothers and sisters in Christ. And there is a common ground, a common fellowship, and that is Jesus Christ. How do you love your brother? Do you get along? I know that I tell some people when they maybe start complaining about another individual in the church, or I can't understand why this person does this. I says, well, you know, we're a family. Every family has a crazy Uncle Joe or a weird aunt this, or, you know, we all have different people that have different ways that they've been brought up, or different ways they look at things and different ways they get along. We don't compromise with sin. I'm not saying that, but we all have family members and we accept them because they're part of our family. When we come to our church family, we're all made a little bit different. Some of us grew up north and we're normal. Some people grew up down south. I'm sorry. I'm joking. I've enjoyed my years down south probably more than I enjoyed my years up north. I do think that has something to do with my relationship with God. But, you know, they still pick on me. I kept on saying that I couldn't understand why somebody would eat grits. And I've heard about that time and time again. So, and I've even ate grits the other night, bite or two of grits just to prove, and they were good. So, you're still not going to convince me that a biscuit is better than a dinner roll, though. A dinner roll is much better than a biscuit. So, that's an up north thing versus a down south thing. Okay. But, you know, it doesn't matter where we're from. If we're brethren and sisters in the Lord, the Bible tells us we're supposed to help one another. Not just help, it actually says love one another. And the next thing is that next, honor the king. And if it wasn't written in the Bible, we probably just say that we're not supposed to do that. Because we don't like what a lot of things that happens to our political leaders. A lot of them are, you can't trust. And a lot of them are corrupt. And a lot of them, you just don't know how many lies they're going to tell to get elected. And that's just sad. And that's on whatever party that you're in. But the Bible says here, this is honoring of the position. Next thing I want you to think about is the duty to live right. The duty to live right. And that's where we got these verses that are found in verses 13 and 14 and 15. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by them, the punishment of evildoers for the praise of them that do well. For this is the will of God. Now, you see that phrase that's found in verse number 13, and I think this should help us a lot, for the Lord's sake. And when we look in the book of Ephesians, it talks about servants being obedient as serving unto the Lord. And there are different relationships that are mentioned there, just being subject. It's about fearing the Lord and doing what the Lord's given us to do. He gives us some specific answers here, and I think that we should be the best citizens. I think that we should be some of the best workers. Now, we might not be the most talented, because talent is something that, you know, only God can give. But we should be some of the hardest and best workers. I know that I told you before that I've had the privilege of managing a lot of different people in a lot of different areas. And it's great to have, I've hired many people that claim to be a Christian. But they don't always have a good testimony. You know, they might say they're a Christian, but they didn't act like a Christian on the job because they didn't work like they should. I don't think a work should take advantage of a individual or a person. But when you go down to verse number 18, it says, servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. You know, I think this application can be made to those that are boss-employee relationships right now. And we need to make sure that we are doing a good job for a person. What doesn't matter who the person is, we're doing it because we're doing it for the Lord. Is it much easier to work for a person that is easy to get along with? Sure it is. Is it much easier to work for a person that treats you with respect and treats you right, this and that? Yeah, of course it is. But at the same time, the Bible's saying here is that we need to have a duty to live and do what's right. We need to make sure that we're some of the best workers. Whether the person that's in charge of you is good or gentle, or whether they're forward and they're not good and they're not gentle, I guess is another way of putting it. We need to do the best we can, because that's what we have a responsibility to do to the authority that's in our life. And then you see the ordinances there up in verse number 13. This can reference their government ordinances. If the government tells us to do something, if it's a speed limit, you know what we should do? We should follow the speed limit. Right, Miss Patty? There you go. So the other night we were following a car that looked just like Miss Patty's car. It even had a mark on the side, and they were going super fast. And the boy says, "There's Miss Patty's Jeep." And I said, "That's not Miss Patty's. They were going 10 to 15 miles over the speed limit." And so when we get to the next light, we stopped, and it wasn't Miss Patty driving. It wasn't even the same vehicle. She had a testimony that she followed the ordinances of man. And that's the type of testimony that we should have, is that we are, once again, as long as it does not tell us to go against God and God's laws, we respect the authority that is there. We respect the positions. And it even goes as farther in verse number 14, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him, the punishment of the evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. Now, we just got to remember this. And this is God's plan. This is God's will. Don't always understand it. Can't figure it out sometimes. But we are placing ourselves in God's hands. And we're beginning in verse number 17. We're fearing God and saying, "Okay, Lord, if this is what you want, this is what I will do." And once again, if it's not asking you to go against God's law, because we ought to obey God rather than man. You look in the Old Testament and New Testament alike, there is many people who stood up to governments and stood up to wicked authority to do what was right. We think about Ahab and Elijah. We think of the stories of Moses with Egypt. I mean, there's a ton of them. But, you know, the Bible is telling us here in this passage of Scripture, how are we going to show forth the praises of God? How are we going to silence the ignorance of foolish men? How are we going to, make it to where they glorify God in the day of visitation? Is by doing these things. And there's more to come next week too about this, or in a couple weeks. And last but not least is the danger of misusing our liberty. The danger of misusing our liberty. The first thing was the different relationships that we have. Next one, the duty to do right. And this last one is the duty to live right, and this last one is the danger of misusing our liberty. Look what it says in verse 16. "As free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God." Even you go up to verse number 15. "For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." as free and not using your liberty as for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Now, we need to be careful. And we as believers, we're free. What are we free to do? We are free to live for God. We are free to have the liberty to do what God has told us to do. We are free from sin. We are free from the penalty of sin. Now, we have an old nature. I understand that old nature. It's going to cause us to want to sin. But here, we are free. And the Bible's just saying, look, don't use your freedom as some type of excuse, and don't use your relationship with God as some type of excuse not to honor the King, not to submit yourselves to the ordinances of man, not to be able to honor all men, not to love the brethren. Don't use this as a cloak of maliciousness. We're servants of God. We need to put ourselves and have faith in God and trust that God will take care of the things and trust that God will see us through. And I think it's amazing when it says in verse number 15 that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. You know, there are a lot of people that can make some really bad accusations about believers and about Christians. But they should never be able to make an accusation about a believer or a Christian that when it comes to our work ethic, when it comes to our dealing with our government, when it comes with dealing with the ordinances of men, as long as they do not contrary to what the Word of God says. It's important that we get and understand that the way we live our lives will silence the ignorance of foolish men. If they don't have anything to talk about, then yes, you say, well, Pastor, they're going to make things up. And we looked at that on Sunday night, that how they sometimes will even just continue on. They're going to accuse you as evildoers, to speak against you as evildoers, but may by your good work, which they shall behold, glorify in the day of visitation. That means when God visits with them, when God deals with them, they're going to remember the way you acted. They're going to remember the way you worked. They're going to remember all these things to the way, and you're just going to silence them. They're going to remember you, and they're going to glorify God as God works in their life. You know, sometimes you hate giving testimonies because it seems like you're bragging, and that's not the case at all in my life. But I've had a number of people when I worked. My dad, I give my dad the credit because my dad got me my second job. I told you I worked my first job at Burger King for 2 weeks, and then he tried to make me work Sundays, so I stopped working there. He got me my next job, and he told me, he says, you better make sure you're there on time, and work the whole time while you're there. He says, because I got you this job, and if you don't do what you're supposed to, he says, you might get in trouble at work. When you get home, you're going to be in a lot more trouble than you were at work. I said, yes, sir. And my dad taught me a good work ethic. He taught me a lot of good things. And, you know, as I told you, as a 17-year-old, I got to become an assistant manager of a restaurant, and then I became the general manager, and I even worked with a couple stores. And, you know, I managed a mail distribution company for a little while. And while at Bible College, I worked as a Rite Aid pharmacy manager at nighttime. You know what? It was wonderful that the testimony that my dad helped me with taught me this. And that people many times came up to me, are you a Christian? And I'm not trying to brag, but that's not something that happens all the time. And, you know, I had the people that worked with me, and I was fair with them. We worked hard. We expected what my boss expected out of me. But if you have a right relationship with God, your vertical relationships are going to work out. And if you're sincere and you work hard towards something, God can bless, and God will work, and God can use. Now, will people always silence the ignorance of foolish men? Not at that moment in time. But I can tell you there's been times in my life when people have come back to me and says, you know what, I respected you for being a Christian. And these are people that mocked me. There's people that laughed at me, and they were critical of me, you know, this and that. But they said, I respected that. Put them to silence because they saw that a Christian life was real. And that's what we're looking to do. Be real in every area of your life, as a citizen, as an employee, or even as an employer. If you're a Christian employer, you should not, you know, just because you have Christians that work for you, you shouldn't try to abuse people. You should treat them fair, and you should treat them right. Many, many things here in this scripture. We can show forth His praises even as citizens, as workers, and as church members. And this is what we're supposed to be doing. Tonight, I pray that this was a help to you. And like I said, we could spend a lot of time looking at and saying, well, our government's doing this wrong, our government's doing this wrong, our government's doing this wrong. And we are headed towards a very, very dark time, and we need to stand up, and we need to be working hard. And you say, what do we need to stand up and do? Well, the first thing we need to do is make sure we're right with God. If we fear God, then everything else will have a whole completely different perspective. If we have the right vertical relationship, then everything else will look the way it's supposed to. Then after that, what's the priorities in God's life? win people to Christ, disciple them. As we win people to Christ and we disciple them, we have a chance to take back America. Now, while we're doing all this, we stand up for what's right. We get involved, and we stand up for morality. We stand up for biblical principles. We go against those that are wicked and doing things that are abominations of God. But we have a certain time and period right now in this world that God's called us. And this honor the king, this submitting to the ordinance of a man, was written during a time when Christians were, to be a Christian was being an outlaw. And this has been generations and spanned through all the different countries of the world, which meant so many different things to so many different people. And we read this tonight and say, how can I do this? We can say, this is God's plan, and this is God's will, and this is how I'm going to live. I'm going to be the best citizen I can. I'm going to be the best worker I can. I'm going to be the best church member I can by fearing God. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.